chapter 14, the time of finishing the mystery of God. But that imposture is not to last forever, thank the Lord. This great truth of the priesthood, ministry, and sanctuary of Christianity is not to be hid forever from the eyes of the church and the world. The mystery of iniquity arose, and so hid from the world the mystery of God, that all the world followed it wondering. Revelation 13, verses 3 and 4. But the day comes when the mystery of iniquity shall be exposed, and the mystery of God in its own truth and purity shall shine forth once more, never more to be hid, but to accomplish its great purpose and be completely finished. For it is written, that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Revelation 10, verse 7. In the days of Christ and his apostles, the mystery of God was revealed in a fullness never before known, and was preached to all nations for the obedience of faith. Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. From the beginning of the world until that time, this mystery had been hid in God, had been hid from ages and from generations, but was then made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1, verses 26 through 29, Ephesians 3, verses 3, 5, and 9. But even at that same time, in the very days of the apostles, the mystery of iniquity did already work. And it continued to work until it gained world power and supremacy, and even power over the saints, the times, and the law of the Most High, standing up against the prince of princesses, magnifying itself even to the prince of the host, putting itself in the place of worship of God, and passing itself off for God. And thus again, but not this time in God, the mystery of God was hid from ages and from generations. But now again, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, even now, the mystery of God, which hath again been hid from ages and generations, is made manifest to his saints, to whom now God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And this, as we have already quoted, is itself according as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. It is not alone the prophet of Patmos who declared that in this time, even now in our day, the mystery of God should be finished. For when the angel of God made this proclamation in the vision of the prophet of Patmos, he had already and long before declared the same thing to his servants, the prophets. And this proclamation on Patmos was only the declaration of the angel that that which God had long before declared to his servants, the prophets, should now surely be accomplished, and that with no more delay. The full proclamation of the angel is this: And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time, delay, RV, no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Revelation 10, verses 5 through 7. The one prophet to whom this thing was more fully and more plainly declared than to any other was the prophet Daniel. For not only did Daniel see the rise of this little horn, and see it magnify itself even to the prince of the host, and stand up against the prince of princesses, and cast to the ground his truth and his sanctuary, and stamp upon them, but he also, and in the same vision, saw the truth and the sanctuary of Christ delivered from this little horn power, rescued from his blasphemous stamping, lifted up from the earth, and exalted to the heaven where it belongs. And it was in this part of the transactions in the vision that the heavenly ones seemed to be most interested. For, says Daniel, "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint, the wonderful numberer, which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the continual service, and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he, the wonderful numberer, said unto me, Until 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Daniel 8, verses 13 and 14. Then the angel Gabriel was commanded to make Daniel understand the vision. He began to do so, but when in the explanation he had reached the point concerning the many days of this vision, the astonishing and terrible things revealed in the vision overcame the prophet, and says he, "I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it." Daniel 8, verse 27. So far as the explanation had proceeded, it was easily understood, for it was plainly spoken that the ram represented the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat the king of Grecia, and in view of the explanation that had already been made in the second and seventh chapters of Daniel, the description of the next great power after Grecia was easily understood so far as the angel could then go with the explanation. But in the very midst of the explanation, the most important part of it, Daniel fainted, and so the most material and essential part of the explanation was missed, and none understood it. However, the prophet sought diligently for an understanding of the vision, and after the destruction of Babylon, in the first year of the king of the Medes and Persians, the angel Gabriel came to Daniel again and said, "O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." Daniel 9, verse 1 and verse 22. And it was understanding in this particular vision, which he was explaining when Daniel fainted, that he now came to give. Accordingly, he directs Daniel's attention first of all to that vision. For he said, "At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision." Verse 23. Having thus directed the prophet's attention to the vision, the angel begins immediately to discuss the time mentioned in the vision, the very part of the vision which, because of Daniel's fainting, had been left unexplained. Thus he says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city." Verse 24. The word "determined" signifies limited, restricted within bounds, to mark off and fix the bounds. In explaining the vision at the first, the angel had come to the point of the time, the many days, the 2,300 days of the vision. Now as he tells Daniel to consider the vision, he begins immediately to speak concerning these days and to explain the events of them. 70 weeks, or 490 of these days, are limited and restricted to the Jews and Jerusalem. And this also marks the limitation of the Jews and Jerusalem as God's special people and city. For these are prophetic days, in which each day is a year, the 70 weeks, or the 490 days, thus making 490 years of the 2,300 days, which are 2,300 years. The beginning of the 490 years is thus also the beginning of the 2,300 years. The story of the 70 weeks, or 490 years, is given by the angel as follows. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and until the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifices and oblation to cease. And upon the wing of abomination shall come one that maketh desolate, and upon the battlements shall be the idols of the desolator, AV, margin, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolator. Daniel 9, verses 25 to 27, chapter 9, verse 27, RV, 927, margin. The commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem here referred to went forth in the year 457 B.C., and is recorded in the 7th chapter of Ezra. The decree was issued from Babylon and was addressed first to Ezra, empowering him to leave Babylon and to take with him such people and materials as were supplied for the work of restoring Jerusalem and the worship of God therein. And secondly, to all the treasurers which are beyond the river Euphrates, directing them to supply whatever was required by Ezra for the carrying on of the work. It was the 5th month of the year when Ezra reached Jerusalem, so that about half the year 457 B.C. was gone, which could give about the year 456 and a half as the time of the beginning of the 490 years and the 2,300 years. From that time, 483 years were to reach to the Messiah, the Prince, which would reach 26 and one-half years into the Christian era, or into the year A.D. 27, which is the very year of Christ's appearance as the Messiah in his public ministry, when he was baptized in Jordan and anointed with the Holy Ghost. Mark 7, verses 9 through 11, Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. After this, he, the Messiah, was to confirm the covenant for 1 week, the remaining week of the 70. But in the midst of that week, he would cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease by the sacrifice of himself on the cross. In the midst of the week would be at the end of the 3.5 of the 7 years from the fall of A.D. 27. This gives the date, the spring A.D. 31, the very time when the Savior was crucified. And thus, by the sacrifice of himself, the only sacrifice for sins, forever caused the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Then the veil of the earthly temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, showing that the service of God there was ended, and the earthly house was desolate. There was yet the last half of the 70th week remaining as the limit of the time of special favor to the Jews and Jerusalem. This half of the week, beginning in the spring of A.D. 31, extended to the fall of A.D. 34. In that time, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen went everywhere preaching the word, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Acts 11, verse 19, chapter 8, verse 4. But when this time was expired, and the Jews had confirmed themselves in the rejection of the Messiah and his gospel, then was their decision accepted. And under the leadership of both Peter and Paul, the door of faith was opened fully to the Gentiles, to whom pertains the remaining portion of the 2,300 years. After the 490 years of the limitation upon the Jew and Jerusalem, there yet remained 1,810 years to the Gentiles. This period, beginning as we have found in the fall of A.D. 34, reaches inevitably to the fall of A.D. 1844 and marks that date as the expiration of the 2,300 years. At that time, upon the word of the wonderful numberer in Daniel 8, verse 14, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. In 1844 also was the very time of the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, and when the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. At that time there would be broken up the horror of great darkness, by which the mystery of iniquity had hid from ages and generations the mystery of God. At that time the sanctuary and the true tabernacle and the truth of it would be lifted up from the ground where the man of sin had cast them down and stamped upon them, and would be exalted to the heaven where they belong, and whence they would shine forth in such lights as that the earth shall be litened with the glory. At that time the transcendent truth of the priesthood and ministry of Christ would be rescued from the oblivion to which the abomination and transgression of desolation had consigned it, and would once more and forever stand in its true and heavenly place in the faith of the church, accomplishing in every true believer that perfection which is the eternal purpose of God, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.